Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you on a very special day, a very special week. Talking about a very special tournament that, of course, would be the Masters at Augusta National. And we've got a special guest joining us, Paul Stankowski, to give us his recollections of an historic 1997 run at Augusta. And we'll talk to Paul about that and the Masters in general. And our good friend Paul, Frank Bassett.
What?
Meanwhile, down in Augusta, and I say down from where I'm at in Dallas, and he is at the Azalea House. So tell us what's going on, Frank. How are you doing today?
Good, man. It's so good to be in Augusta. I'm here at Azalea House, I should say. AzaleaHospitality.com. Go check it out. And we're having a blast. I mean, the crowds are so excited, and we all know why, because there's this one special guy here this week, Paul Stankowski. No, I mean Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. It's fun. Steve Elkington joined us yesterday here on the set to do an interview for his endeavor called Secret Golf. He'll be giving us a report every day. And we'll also be having reports from Sports Illustrated writers, as well as the Morning Read and Buffalo Communications Golf Writers Stable. So it's going to be a busy week and a fun week.
Nice.
And I love Augusta. Augusta is so beautiful, and the pollen is not that bad this year, so it's great.
Ooh. Yeah. It's a special place. Matter of fact, I've been watching the Golf Channel, getting ready for this morning's show, Frank, and on there was just recently was Scotty Scheffler, and they had Randy Smith sitting right there with Scotty, working with him. And, of course, we had Randy on last week talking about the rise and the sudden rise of Scotty Scheffler, the number one in the world, so a lot of eyes will be on Scotty and his ascent there, as well as what people expect for him at the Masters and see how well he can play. So there's Randy and Scotty working. And that's when, you know, Scotty's 25-ish in a few months or something like that, one of the younger guys to become number one in the world. And our good friend Paul Stankowski at one point was a young up-and-comer as well at the Masters. And let's go back to 1997, and talk about what happened in that great year with Paul. And he joins us now. Paul, how you doing today?
Guys, I'm doing great. It's 25 years. That is
unbelievable.
Wow. Hard to believe.
Well, he was trying to age you, Paul. He was putting you back to 87 for a minute.
How old were you?
Frank, it's fine. 97? Frank, I'm younger than all you guys.
Okay. Thank you so much for that.
By a lot. How old were you in 87?
I was in 87. I was 17.
I'm sorry.
I was a
Jeez, why don't
senior
you say
in high school.
Sorry. 97. How old were you in 97?
In 97, I was 27.
27. So about Scheffler. A little bit older than Scheffler. Yeah. And it was a year that, you know, is historic as far as Tiger's concerned. And if you look at the leaderboard, Paul, and go back to, and Frank, you may or may not be aware of this, or our listeners, but if you go back and look, who was right there after the first round at 4 under, one shot out of the lead, but Mr. Stankowski. Pretty good opening round for you back in 97.
Yeah, you know, it was a good opening round. Yeah, I played well that day. And, you know, I'm still a little bitter, though, because John Houston holed it from the 10th hole, 10th fairway on 18 to snip me by a shot.
Yeah. What do you get for that?
So that would have been nice.
Wait, explain that again. He had sprayed the ball.
He hit it right. I didn't even know 10 was to the right of 18, but he hit it over there in 10, whether it was in the fairway or the pine straw, somewhere over there in 10, from the 18th tee, and then he holed it for a deuce to shoot 5 under. And I do believe they give you like a crystal goblet or a bowl or something. For low round of the day, but so that was a bummer. But it was still fun, you know. I hit it in the Sandy Lyle bunker. I'm not sure they officially call that, but that's what I call it. And
Heartbreak Beach.
I made birdie out of that. That was pretty fun. So yeah, you know, that was
nice.
That was a fun start to the week. In fact, I played right in front of Tiger the first day, and I do believe he was 4 over. At the turn, I'm walking off 10T. Yeah. I look over, he's 4 over par, and I chuckled. I'm like, nice playing.
Sucker.
Oh, no.
So I didn't tell him that. I just said it like under my breath. But, I may have heard me. He may have heard my thoughts. And what he shoot from there, 22 under par the next 63 holes. That's my math. That's almost one every three holes. That was pretty impressive.
Because he finished the first round behind you, actually, after that really bad, was it, Frank, 40? Did he shoot 40 on his opening nine, I think?
Yeah, I believe so.
40, 30, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he came back and was two under, so he's only a couple shots behind you after that. And that was early Tiger. I mean, let's remember, that was early parts of Tiger. That was ended up being his first major that he won. So what were you thinking of Tiger? You certainly knew, everybody knew who he was and about him, but was he in your... In your thoughts, did you think, okay, this guy's too young to really have a chance? It's going to be, because if you look at the leaderboard, there's Jose Maria was right there, Nick Price, Appleby, Zinger was in there. The guys you're talking about, Longer, these are the guys that were on the leaderboard that first day. Was Tiger in your thoughts of he could really not only win this, but run away from it? Or was it a distant thought that he would be considered at that point?
Well, I don't think it was a distant thought. He had already won. What, he won twice at the end of his rookie year, right? Did he win Disney in Vegas? Am I right in that?
Yes.
And I'm sure he won at least once or twice prior to Augusta in 97. I'm just throwing that out there. But he wasn't a distant thought. Obviously, the guy was one of the hottest players in golf. But we had no idea he was going to be, you know, co-GOAT.
Yeah. Co-GOAT.
I don't know what you call him. I mean, I don't think you can compare Jack and Tiger. They're both a GOAT as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, incredible. Hey, let me ask you this, Paul. The talk about you've been around Tiger a long time, and all the talk about his injury and his performance here. Freddie Couples had some really strong things to say about his game yesterday after he played the round with he and Justin Thomas. It's getting cold here, and it's chilly this morning. It's going to be even cooler over the weekend. What do you think is the chances are that he can, with the injuries and so on, can handle it?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think he would. I don't think he's going to tee it up if he doesn't think he can play. You know, walking not only 4 days. Obviously, he's been there since. What, Monday, I guess, right? So yesterday he played a practice round.
He did.
I don't know what his plan is for today, if it's nine holes or, you know, and nine on Wednesday. I have no idea. But obviously the unknowns, right? I'm just looking at the forecast. You know, Saturday's 59 and low of 40. It's going to be chilly. But I don't think that's going to really play a role. I think it's more – if there was any rain in the forecast that would maybe make them play more than 18 holes in a day, like that would have been, because earlier the Thursday forecast was for thunderstorms. And well, that could be kind of sketchy, right? If he plays six holes and has to come back the next day and play the rest, that could be tough. 18 holes. Yeah. We'll see. I really hope he does play. When this whole thing happened and people were writing him off the accident, it's Tiger Woods we're talking about. I know the accident was good. Anything short of his leg coming off, which I'm assuming was probably – that was on the table. I just figured, man, this guy's the best. And it's his right leg, right, not his left. Probably the easiest leg to – if you're going to hurt a leg, hurt your right. I don't know. This is just all speculation. It's all we can do at this point. But I would love it. If he contends this week, it'd be amazing. I think I'd love it if he just plays, but I don't think he's just going to play. I think he's going to be right in the mix.
Well, what
Frank,
Freddie, couple, what Freddie said, it will. What Freddie said is he's hitting the ball as well as I've ever seen him hit the ball, as well as the fact that he's controlling his drives better than I've ever seen him. And he's out there, and his length is out there, so... You know, maybe he's just been kind of leading us on and not saying much, which is the Tiger way.
Let me throw this out. You know, Freddie's got a lot of hyperbole. I mean, we're talking Tiger Woods. Do we really think at his age, with everything he's gone, that Tiger's hitting the ball better than he's ever hit it? I have a hard time believing that that's the case. I'm not saying
that's your opinion.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time saying at this stage, with 15 back surgeries and everything else, that Freddie's not just saying it to be...
Well, he was playing with Justin Thomas, too, and he was out there with him all day.
Just saying. That would be.
Well, here's the deal.
I picked Kansas, okay? So there.
Okay,
I know what I'm talking about. Got it?
Okay. Tiger knows the golf course like the back of his hand. And there's, from a strategy standpoint, that's huge. Obviously, he's got the game to do it. He has the history of a game to do it. If it was his arm or shoulder or back that was mangled and then having to rebuild, that'd be a little different. So I don't know. I'm not putting past this is Tiger Woods, y'all. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Well, here's another person. Congratulations, by the way, to University of Kansas for the national championship. I picked them. Remember, Tim? I think somebody owes me some money somewhere,
You've told me that, but okay.
Okay. But last week we had Randy Smith on, and I know that Paul knows Randy. He is the instructor for Scotty Scheffler, has been since Scotty was 7 years old, and told a great story about meeting Scotty. And also for our good friend Ryan Palmer, I picked Scotty Scheffler for this after that interview with Randy Smith last week because of what he told us about where his head was, where his game was, his ball striking, and his putting. Paul, what do you think about Scotty Scheffler's game here at the Masters, since you're so familiar with this golf course and what it takes to contend here?
Well, is there a hotter player right now in golf?
No.
And Scotty is did anybody see, what, 3 wins and 5 starts? Is that what it is?
Teddy Scott did, obviously.
Well, I get it. What a team, by the way, right?
Teddy Scott, one of the best caddies
on the planet, and aside from golf, obviously Scotty is uber talented, always has been, does it a little bit differently. I don't think you teach that footwork to anybody, which shows me that, you know, he owns that golf swing. It's kind of like Lee Trevino, right? Super, super interesting golf swing.
Yeah.
But he owned it. And Scotty works hard. He works hard in the gym. He works hard on the golf course. He's winning. Breed's winning. And right now he's winning a lot. This golf course, it's not only the golf course. Can he play this golf course? Can he win on this course? Absolutely. It's the Masters. And, you know, coming in on a run on the heater that he's on right now, obviously the odds are, I guess, in his favor. I'm not sure where he's actually stacked up there in the odds, but he'd be a good bat, that's for sure.
I think he's actually, and we're talking with Paul Stankowski, veteran of the PGA Tour and Augusta National, but also on the Champions Tour now. We'll talk to him a little bit about that. And Frank Bassett is joining us as well. He is at Azalea House at Augusta, right outside the door, the front gate. Literally, Frank, a couple of drives, maybe a wedge from the front gate there.
Absolutely.
At Augusta National.
And we're set up here right next to the bar, which is very convenient for us.
It's a perfect. Let me ask you, Frank about if Tiger could compete, and Paul said something about the weather. Tell us about the weather, because we're in Dallas, Paul and I are, and storms came through big time late last night, overnight here. And they're heading your way. If you look at a radar right now, it's like from the Gulf Coast to Canada, just this line of pink and orange and red heading your way. What are they saying about the forecast there?
Well, it's everybody, we're battening down the hatches here. If you recall, a few years ago when we were here live outside on the patio, the tornadoes came over the top of us. We had a tornado right above us, and you could feel it. It was sucking everything up out of the off the ground. And they're saying it's going to be probably that bad again with hail. High winds and the possibility of tornadoes. So we're going to batten down the hatches. And
now, as far as the golf course, though, with their underground system and everything, it probably will have little effect when it comes time to Thursday.
Well, Paul can speak to that better than I can, really, with sub-air and all that. Paul, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, the golf course will be – it's not going to be bone dry, but it won't be a slop fest like we would see on the West Coast.
Yeah.
But this might actually play into Tiger's hand as well, you know, having almost a forced day off, if you will. Hopefully whatever's there will exit by Thursday, and the rest of the week is good. It does look like Friday there's 15 to 25 with higher wind gusts possible. That's a breezy day, but sunny looks beautiful. Augusta sunny, 70 degrees, 5 to 10. Guys, what happens today? Hopefully the golf course doesn't get sucked up into the air and disappear.
Where's Toto? Where is Toto?
Aside from that, this is awesome. Is there any more? I mean, obviously every year Tiger plays, the anticipation's amazing here, but you know, after what he went through, to now, you know, have the possibility to play. I mean, he said he's a game time decision. That's just so cruel to everybody.
Yes, it is.
You know, I hope he does actually play, but this is going to be amazing. And to speak on the storms that you guys are getting, yes, I'm looking at my pool and it is mud. It's mud brown.
Good.
There's mulch everywhere. My wife just planted 6 kind of little cypress trees in my backyard. They're all laid on their side.
Oh boy.
I'm not sure what the heck just came through here last night, but
it was a bad storm. Nope. Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. So you guys hunker down and
call the yard man.
I think I'm going to be there Wednesday, Thursday. So I look forward to coming and visiting you at Azalea House. This is going to be a fun week.
It's going to be great. I can't wait for you to get down here and meet all of our friends at Azalea. You're going to love the guys. They're great. And, hospitality here is fabulous, and come free valet parking for you. Okay, for you.
For you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And free food and booze, whatever you want. So you got it, man. It's going
to
be fun.
I like to eat.
Well, you know what?
He knows I like to eat.
We're joined by Paul Stankowski. Frank Bassett is at the Azalea House at Augusta National, getting ready for the start of the Masters. The official announcement, I think, is there a news conference Friday?
At 11 a.m. today.
Where Tiger's going to say something, and we all kind of anticipate it'll be, I'm not here to smell the roses, I'm here to actually play golf. That's what we anticipate he's going to say, right?
11 a.m. Eastern today. We're doing this show on Tuesday morning early as a pre-Masters, you know, kickoff, whatever. So, yeah, by the time this show airs, we will know what Tiger's going to do.
Yeah, and we all anticipate that's the case. And, Paul, I'm curious again, going back to 97, that fabled round for Tiger and the 4 rounds for Tiger, and you being right there in the hunt and seeing him, he's in a group ahead of you or the group behind you for most of those 4 rounds. It was after Thursday's round that he went from being, you know, behind you in the first round and then took the lead in the second round, but just by a little bit. He and Colin Montgomery were kind of within a few shots of each other, but it was really that third round that he separated himself, and suddenly Tiger goes to 15 under and Rocca is at 6 under, and was it game over? And, Paul, you were in third. You were right there at 5 under. But he had you by 10 shots after the third round. Were you guys thinking, at that point, we are playing for second place? Did you know it was going to be a bit of the whitewash that it turned out to be?
Yeah. Well, obviously, anybody in their right mind would think that the tournament's over. But, and I'll say it's a big but, anything's possible. What happened the year before, right? Greg Norman had a
meltdown,
a nice little lead, and he lost it. So there again, you know, looking back at it, yeah, that was silly. Now, I did see a video of an interview I did. Remember, I was 27, and I probably dumber than a box of rocks. And I said, someone asked, you know, if he could be, like, it was the end of my interview, and someone asked me something, and I was already stepping away. I turned back to the camera and I said, "Oh, he can be beat." And then I walked away. And they showed me that a couple of years ago, and I don't remember saying that. I about fell out of the chair when I saw what I said.
Paul, you're telling me you joined the Curtis Strange Club with that comment?
I don't know. Well, I think to this day, that interview I don't think ever aired. But I just let the cat out of the bag. But the thing is, you have to think, as an athlete, you know, I don't care if you're a team down 20 going in the fourth quarter, you're still going, hey, let's get on a run. Never know, right? Sure. And so you can't go, oh, we're just playing for second. But in theory, we were. And I told the reporter Saturday night, he said, what's it going to take for someone to track him down? I said, well, honestly, I said, if somebody gets hot and gets out of the gate really quickly, like makes 5 or 6 birdies in the first 2 or 3 holes, they might be able to catch him.
Hey, I've just gotten an update, guys, live. Says Tiger has a bit of an artificial deadline today at the Masters. They would like to release starting times that have threesomes all the way through. So while Tiger can wait until the last moment, organizers would prefer he make a decision today so they can slot him correctly. So that's just been released.
Which is what we anticipate from this morning, as we said, in an hour or so, that he'll make it official. Because I think he knows there are those kind of things, even though they say you can show up on Thursday morning and give us enough time that we're ready to go. There are other procedures that I think he has to be conscious of and courteous enough to say. So I think he's going to, he'll let him know today that it's a yes or a no. And I think it's a 99% yes. We're watching on Golf Channel and whatever else, and people can see. He's doing serious warm-ups. He's hitting short shots, long shots. He's hitting everything. And so I would be shocked at this point. He does seem to have, Frank, and I don't know if you noticed, but he does seem to have a little hitch in his giddy-up, though, a bit, doesn't he, with that right leg still?
Just a hair, but it really, if you go back to Riviera when they saw him run up the stairs at his tournament, the Genesis, he had no hitch. I really think he's going to I don't know. I didn't see any hitch. People say he had a little bit. I was not over there yesterday. I was right here.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Paul, is it the toughest golf course to walk, Augusta National? People say that if you're going to do it, this is one of the, if not the most challenging walk for four rounds that you're going to get on tour.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's the toughest or not, it's irrelevant. It's a hard walk. It's a really hard walk. Side hills, uphills, now it's got everything. And, if they do get some rain, remember, it's pretty slick in spots. And so, it's not an easy walk. If he's got a hitch in his giddy up, it's probably because, he's probably getting sore at this point. I don't know how much walking golf he's played at home over the last, 6 months. I'm assuming a lot of it's in the cart. You still walk from the cart path to the green and whatnot, but it's going to take a while to build up endurance. I don't think his endurance is there in the foot. I don't think it'll be there for a while, but I think he can endure. He obviously has a high degree of pain tolerance. To do what he did in 2008 on a leg that was injured, that was pretty impressive. I think he's got the mental fortitude. I know he's chomping at the bit to play. I mean, think about this, man. I mean, when that wreck happened, I'm sure he thought it was over. And here he is about to tee it up again in the coolest event in golf. I think he's even a little bit giddy.
He seems very happy. Everybody said watching him, he's interacting with the crowds during the practice round and smiling and saying hi to people. So his attitude's there.
Well, I'm 100% big fan of I've always been a fan of Tiger, the golfer. Always have. Even when he's what, 6-8 years younger than I am. I grew up in Southern California. I grew up on a 9-hole Navy golf course. I mean, so I watched him, knowing that where he came from and, I've always been a big fan. Every time he played, if he was hitting balls on the range, I'd watch him. I'm a fan of the game. I'm not only a professional golfer. I like watching greatness, and it's pretty cool. Now what we saw when he won Augusta a couple of years ago with the family, and I loved how Jim and Nick laid out for that 2.5 minutes and just let the moment speak for itself. Watching him with JT and Jordan and all the guys, he likes being a part of the guys now. Whereas before, Tiger was, he showed up, he hit business. His business was to win the golf tournament. And all of us, 155 other guys in the field, were in his way. now it's different. And like I say, I thought it was cool then. I think it's cooler now, and it's fun to watch him with his kids. And I'm a big fan. I might sound like I'm gushing, but it's still impressive. And like I say, I can't wait to watch this week.
Yeah, we all are. And to go back, we thought I was right there on 18, right up close to him when he sank that last putt, and made that massive, what everybody thinks is the greatest comeback in all of sport. Now, we're sitting here in 2022 with the same situation in front of us, the possibility that this guy could again have the greatest comeback in all of sport. I mean, my gosh, what would it would just be crazy. I mean, everybody here is giddy, guys. You can hear it in my voice. We're just excited to see him out there and see him healthy. And he just he's something else. There's no doubt.
Yep. It should be an exciting week, and we're looking forward to it. Paul, if you do show up and you do end up going there in the next couple of days, you said you're kind of on the fence, then definitely hook up with Frank, because Azalea Hospitality will show you exactly that. A lot of hospitality. It'll be it's more than just a parking lot, Paul. I mean, you can go there and park your car, but
we have valet
out there.
We have valet.
You'll have a great time. So yeah. We're looking forward to that. We'll let you go because we know you got things to do today to
get ready to come
ready
here
for traveling. Yeah, a little bit, but we appreciate your time as always and the look back down memory lane. Even though you didn't win the tournament, I'm sure it's still a very very fond memory, and you had a fantastic tournament there at Augusta back in 97, not 87. In 97.
Hey, you know, one thing was really what could have been. So I don't know if I ever told you this story, but I had a 10-footer on Saturday that if I made it, I got Tiger on Sunday. And I missed the putt. And then Rocco comes in right behind me, and he had a 20-footer that if he misses it, I'm playing with Tiger, and he drained it. So I was that close to being paired with Tiger on Sunday and getting to walk right next to history being made. I still think that had I made that putt, maybe it would have been different.
Who were you paired with? Factor of Paul Stankowski being next to him. I think it would have affected him.
Oh, yeah.
Paul, who were you paired with on Sunday?
Hey, he had no idea who I was. He still doesn't. But anyway, I was paired with Tom Kite. Honestly, okay. Like that day was the biggest kick in the teeth for me. I shot 2 over par 74 playing with Tom Kite, who was our Ryder Cup captain. I ended up finishing, I think, 13th in points. But that round, that Sunday round, kept me from making the Ryder Cup team. You know, shooting 74.
Ouch. Was that on
that
your mind?
In itself, finishing. Oh, 100% it was on my mind. Yeah. I mean, it was the fact I knew who I was playing with, and I knew if I had a good day, I think a second place finish and I make the team. You know, Kite finished second. Yep. He shot 2 under on Sunday, and I shot 2 over. Mm-hmm. I believe that would have been enough to make the team. And if I had maybe shot a good round, if I did make the team, maybe it would have impressed Tom enough. But, you know, shooting 74 with a captain on a big day didn't impress him at all. And so when I look back at that week, it was really cool. And I think about, you know, finishing fifth in the Masters, being a part of that history of Tiger winning by 12 and at the time breaking the record. And it's really cool to have been a part of that. But then the side story is it was a disappointing day walking off of 18. Because I knew what it meant for me.
Right.
And that was a bummer, but anyway, it's cool to reminisce, you know. It's crazy. It's been 25 years, boys, almost half my lifetime ago.
Well, wow. get yourself over here very safely. And we really look forward to seeing you, buddy.
Sounds good, guys. Y'all take care. Enjoy the day.
All right, Paul. You too. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Paul.
See you guys.
See ya.
Paul Stankowski. And again, on the Champions Tour, he's playing still. He's out there and competing. And we have a Champions Tour event, PGA Tour Champions event here, the Club Corp here in Dallas, I'm saying it.
Club Corp Classic. Club, yeah.
Coming up in like 3 weeks before you know it.
How is Las Colinas looking, by the way, for that tournament?
Great. Tim? Yeah, I went by it the other day.
You played in the media deal?
Whatever. Well, I played in media for Colonial yesterday.
Oh, Colonial. Okay.
Yeah, so Colonial with a Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial. Media day was yesterday, and it was the course was. I'll be honest. It was looking okay, not great. I've been over at Las Colinas where they're going to play the Club Corp Challenge, which is a big celebrity event. It's a first time event, but it's also got celebrities involved.
And we're playing. We're both in that. Yeah, right. That. We're playing in that.
And I'm looking at and that tournament's going to be on a different course than people have been used to seeing. But it looked really nice. I think by the time they play Colonial to come back to that, it should be okay because rain and the temperature's getting hotter. Supposed to be close to 90 today.
Ooh.
That's what brings up that Bermuda, right? And it can blossom and come in full. In a week or 10 days, you have almost a completely different carpet of grass.
Sure.
But there were some bare spots yesterday. I have to admit, I was kind of like,
they're getting ready.
But, you know, it is what it is. So they'll get there. But anyway, it was fun to talk to Paul. I know we've got, because you mentioned earlier, I know we have, an interview with Steve Elkington that you did. And we're going to take a break here, Frank, and you can refill your glass right there at the
Yahoo. House. Oh, they bring them to me. I don't have to do a thing. They just watch
and then
it.
We'll come back and we'll hear what Elk has to say, as he's also at Augusta National there in Augusta, Georgia. So let's take a quick break. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I will return right after this.
Golf Talk America wants to welcome a new sponsor, HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip those trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it is America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh cuts back on time spent in the kitchen with meals ready in around 30 minutes or less, plus quick and easy meals including 20-minute recipes and low-prep and easy cleanup options provide an even faster route to putting food on your table. Okay, so let's talk money, because a lot of people assume you pay more for HelloFresh because of the quality and how much easier it makes your life. Wrong on so many levels, folks. HelloFresh is actually 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal of the same quality. And you save on average over $65 per month when you order HelloFresh instead of grocery shopping. I just tried HelloFresh for the first time. And let me tell you, folks, I absolutely love it. No kidding aside, it was easy. I was skeptical, but the food was super fresh, easy to prepare, easy to clean up, and the portions were absolutely perfect. Not too much, not too little, just convenient and delicious. Ready to try HelloFresh? Go to HelloFresh.com/GTA16 and use code GTA16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's HelloFresh.com/GTA16 and use code GTA16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. How much money are you paying in interest on your credit cards every month? Too much. Then why not consolidate your credit cards into just one payment at a lower fixed rate and start saving money? Pay off your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. You can roll multiple credit card payments into just one payment at a lower fixed rate. That's the key, fixed rate. LightStream's credit card consolidation loans have rates as low as 4.98% APR with autopay and excellent credit. That's much lower than the national average interest rate, which is almost 20% APR. So, just for our listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/GTA. That's LightStream.com/GTA. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include 0.50% autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/GTA for more information.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in the Dallas studios, and Frank Bassett joining us at Augusta National. He's actually at Azalea House, one of the hospitality homes right outside the gates of Augusta National there in Augusta, Georgia. And Frank, for people that don't know Azalea House or heading for that whole area just outside, as I said, the gates there at Augusta National, tell us a little bit about that. It's an actual house, but it becomes a hospitality area for food and drinks, and people come there that are guests of Azalea House, and they have passes and tickets to go watch practice rounds or the tournament once it starts. Tell us a little bit about what they have set up there.
Well, our good friends here at Azalea House, Marcus and Billy, have been our home every year from the year we started coming here to the Masters. It's right down, it's on Azalea Drive, right across from the National, is what you call it, Augusta National, but it's called the National. And it's like, it's a block away. So you turn on Azalea Drive, come down the hill, and you can't miss it. It's a big circular driveway. There are big banners out there everywhere. Yamaha is one of our sponsors this week. They're supplying the golf carts, and we have valet parking and nice. Gorgeous bar and really nice bartenders that know how to pour a drink, and they can pour a drink. We had our friend Danny Medina in here yesterday, and his wife, Elizabeth, from Tucson National. They used to be, I'm sorry, Omni Tucson National Resort. Now, Danny, of course, is the director of golf operations and the general manager at Stone Canyon in Tucson, which is where the match was played with Barkley and Phil and all that.
But
we spent a lot of time yesterday having a lot of fun here doing some interviews. It's just going to be a fun week, like when you were here before. I wish you were here, buddy. Yeah. It's just a blast.
Yeah. Well, one of the interviews that you did was with our good friend Steve Elkington, who we have on this show on a fairly regular basis, and major champion and players champion and whatnot, and a great interview because he's very, very honest, right? Speaks his mind, which is nice because a lot of athletes kind of sugarcoat or try to, you know, say that he's like, yeah, I'll just tell you what I think. And usually it's pretty entertaining. And so you had a chance to sit down with him and spend a little bit of time. So let's listen to that interview now that that Frank did just earlier with Steve Elkington. And then we'll come back and tell you a little bit more before we get ready for the start of the Masters. So here's Frank and Steve Elkington.
As I said, welcome back, everybody. Frank Bassett, Golf Talk America, and we are here at Azalea House in Augusta, Georgia, for the 2022 edition of the Masters. And to celebrate that, one of our good friends and one of the best players to have ever put a club in his hands is two-time Players' Championship winner. He won at Riviera Country Club, the PGA Championship, and three times bronze medal winner here at Augusta National for the Masters.
Two-time bronze.
Well, I was trying to give you one. But you know that voice?
I'll take it.
And that's Steve Elkington. Steve, welcome in.
Thank you, Frank. You know, it's different coming to the Masters when you're not playing. You're a fan, and, you know, I was like anyone else today. I was out there. I wanted to see some of the changes. The weather's perfect today. We got some rain coming in tomorrow. But mostly today, I wanted to go out. You know, there's been a couple of changes, and we're going to discuss those in the show, but they've lengthened this course, Frank, a little bit.
Well, that's what we've heard, and this morning when we talked and you were heading over, you were going to go to those specific holes and lay out for us in verbiage exactly what they've done and why they did it and how they went about doing it, which this morning you told me was very, very interesting, and how they developed the new style of those holes and length.
Yeah, and the first one, you know, I'm going to talk about is the 15th hole, the par 5 that we always, you know, create so much drama on the back nine, par 5. And, of course, Augusta National members, or the chairman, Mr. Ridley, they redid this hole, and they've basically added 37 yards to this hole. What they did, they took all the data of the last 3 years, and they went out on the golf course and put flags in where Rahm hit it, Tiger hit it, DJ, Bryson, put actual big 10-foot-high flags where they could see where all the balls were over the last 3 years, approximately where they drove it, average. Then they decided, okay, let's move them back 37 yards, and they put another series of flags. This is where they would be from the new tee. So I thought that was interesting. And then, of course, you'll know just from TV, there's some mounds down the right-hand side. They said, okay, now let's move those mounds back to work with the 37 yards, so that now Gary Smith, a friend of mine from Philly, was with me today. We walked out there to the landing area, and then now they've made it a little bit more of a pitch into the player, a little bit upslope, so they're not going to get that giant kick forward. Now, they know that DJ or Bryson may fly that hill, and there's nothing they can do about that. But, Frank, we're going to see probably hybrids and maybe three woods coming back into 15, which, honestly, I want them to go for it. I just don't want to see them hitting an 8-iron in there.
Exactly. And that hole historically has gotten shorter and shorter for the players every year. And so they did the right thing, obviously. They know what they're doing. But how do you feel about them doing that and remembering back when you played that hole? What would you have hit then and what would you hit now? Well, or not today for you, but what would you have hit if it were 37 yards longer?
Oh, you know, I don't really recall in the 90s ever hitting anything other than a wood into the 15th hole. And I hit the green. I've got a couple of those crystal jugs at home that when you make an eagle,
right,
you get a vase with your name on it and that celebrate that eagle. But it was always along a wood. I wasn't a super high hitter, so I couldn't go in there with a 2-iron. You know, that wasn't the shot. Now, if you decided that you were going to go with a 2-iron or a 3-iron, you're going to probably aim for that right-hand bunker. But, you know, we saw Xander Schauffele come through. We saw him lay up today both times. So it's definitely a change, which I think is a good change. Like I said earlier, I want to see them go for it. I just want to see it a harder second shot.
Sure. Now, what else have you seen today? What other changes have you seen?
Well, the 11th hole is it's the hardest hole at Augusta. It averages like 4.6. Anyway, and it was really interesting what they've done there. Of course, most people that have seen the hole on TV, you're way back in the trees and you hit sort of over a hill, and then you, of course, you come down the hill and you know there's a pond on the left. We saw famously, you know, Ray Floyd hook it in there and basically handed Nick Faldo, I think, his second or third jacket. Very tight tee shot. Now, what they've done there, Frank, is down the right-hand side, you might remember when Tiger won there in 97, there was sort of a bunch of trees over there, and there was a sort of an alleyway. You could even hit further right, and it bounded down this alleyway, and there was, I think, Tiger hit a wedge in there one time. Well, that's all changed. They've taken probably 30 60-foot pine trees, and they've moved them over to the left side of the fairway. That was phase one. So they've sort of tightened up the left side of the fairway. Then they've sort of scooped out the middle of the fairway so that you can see your ball land from the tee. We're up on the tee with two of our players, Ryan Palmer and Brian Harman. Brian, the little lefty, he had a pretty good drive, and I bet he had 210 to the left end. And Ryan Palmer, he's a long hitter. He probably had an 8-iron in. But on the right side, Frank, you're going to see some on TV that you've not seen before at Augusta. They've got three big pine trees, probably 40 feet high, that are still in the fairway, surrounded by turf, like fairway grass. And you're going to see players that are going to be in the fairway at 11, and they're going to have to make a decision whether they're going to slice it under or hook it around these giant pines. And it's a much easier tee shot. But if you get down the right side, now, these trees aren't in the fairway. They are in the fairway, but they're well over to the right. If you find yourself over there, it's going to make some really good TV.
It's going to be great TV. There's a lot of excitement here, as you well know, and we are we're looking forward to some great weather. But we've had some little bit of bad news, I believe.
We've got weather coming in tomorrow. Like 100% chance it's going to rain at like 1 o'clock tomorrow. Like a washout, like 100%. So hopefully it's just going to be in there for 3 or 4 hours. Frank, going back to number 11, on the right side, you remember Ben Hogan famously quoted, said if he ever hit the 11th green, he mishit the shot. He always wanted to be the right of the green.
Yes.
And remember Larry Mize chipped that ball along and ran up the green?
Sorry about that, Steve.
No, it's all good.
We'll have to edit that out.
Yeah, so remember... Remember on the right side of the green, Hogan said if he hit the green, he'd miss his shot.
Right.
That was the place to be. And then you remember also where Larry Mize was over there, and he famously chipped and run across the green. Well, mate, they have dug that out. They have dug out the right side of that missing the green now. You're probably 2 or 3 or 4 feet now below the surface.
Oh, boy.
And I was seeing Ryan Palmer and Brian Harman. They were putting balls up there. They were chipping. It's going to be really dodgy. So... it's already 4.6. I read Rory McIlroy had a quote over the weekend that he thought it would play harder. Everyone I've talked to so far says it's going to play easier off the tee to hit the fairway, and second shot is the second shot.
More difficult, yeah. Yeah. The second shot. So we've touched on the changes here at Augusta this year. We've touched on a little bit of the weather and what it's going to be like. There's one other big issue going on here, as we all well know, and that's Tiger Woods.
Yeah, we were just on the front nine. Fuzzy Zeller, I had lunch with Fuzzy and his daughter Gretchen, and Chase Wright, who's Gretchen's married to, plays on tour, on and off tour. He said they changed 17, a fraction. I said, what did they change? And he goes, you can't tell.
I said,
well, what do you mean you can't tell? He goes, well, you know the putt that Jack had in 86 where he putted famously down and held his arm up above? He said they weren't crazy about how fast that was that way, so they must have flattened it just a little bit, but you can't tell.
But you can't tell.
They also, Frank, did lengthen 18, if you can believe that. We went back to the 18th tee.
Oh, Lord.
They've pushed it back another oh, I want to say another 12 yards, and it is so narrow back
coming
there.
Out of the chute.
It's coming out of the chute. But going back to Tiger, yeah, we were walking up the hill at number 9 today, and there was just this commotion on the first tee. I mean, you could see the people, and Gary Smith, who was with me, he said, "What's that?" And I said, there's only what's that? There's only one person. I said, "Tiger's going out to play 9
Tiger
holes.
Woods."
And we got up there, and he was playing with Justin Thomas and Freddie Couples, and they teed off. And I'm telling you what, Tiger smoked one up the left side of the fairway, totally under control, big high fade, dead center in the fairway. It was awesome.
You know, yesterday we were talking, and I want to get this story out, a short version, whatever. But you were talking about a tournament you were playing in Tiger's early years. I believe it was the 97 Masters. And you know where I'm going with this,
yeah.
I hope. But give us a little bit of that story, because it was so funny to hear you tell it.
Well, the story was when Tiger won here in 97, it just so happened I was having a good run on tour. I won at Doral, and I won the Players' Championship basically back-to-back. I was leading money winner. But I wasn't in the hunt on Sunday, and we were sitting in the locker room. We were talking about, you know, this kid, Tiger Woods, being, you know, a big lead on Sunday. And we were having a little wager amongst ourselves, the guys that were teeing off first that day. And I had a low round. I had a 67. I think I tied Tiger. I was low round of the day on 97, fourth round. But I came in, and it was about, you know, 1:30, 2 o'clock. And I was in the restroom, in the locker room, washing my hands, washing the sunscreen off my face. And I heard the commode flush. And right behind me walks Tiger in his red shirt, and I'm thinking, it's almost tee time. It's like last tee off time at Augusta on Sunday is like 2:30, and Tiger came around me, and he went over to wash, you know, wash his hands, and I looked over just to kind of give him a sort of a nod, you know, of, you know, good luck, get after it, you know, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and he pretty much scared me. I was about to run out of it. Frank, his eyes were so focused. I've never seen anything like it to this day. It was awesome, and the rest is history.
The rest is history. I'm with Steve Elkington, one of our favorite people to have on Golf Talk America. Now, you talked a little bit earlier about, you hinted at your endeavor. It's Secret Golf. We all know about. Tell us just a little bit about that.
Yeah, Secret Golf is basically a publishing company where I have relationships with 33 of the tour players. So we do a lot of radio. We do a lot of video. SecretGolf.com, we do podcasts, all kinds of media, and we're working on a little bit of a exciting thing that I'm not going to spill today, but, you know, we're going to get a lot bigger real quick, I hope.
I certainly think so. Steve Elkington, it is always a pleasure to sit and visit with you, and please promise that you'll come back during this week and give us more tidbits as you gather your thoughts of the 2022 Masters.
I am the tidbit gatherer.
But that officially, we'll get you credentials that say that. How's that?
Thanks, Frank.
Thanks for stopping in.
All right. So that was a good interview there, right there for
thank you.
Everybody to listen to. Frank and Elk. He is fun to talk to, isn't he?
Always
by the way,
a blast.
So he going there. I'm kind of curious, did he? It's a different experience, I would imagine, as a, you know, former major champion and a guy who's been on tour and all that kind of stuff. Does he get certain credentials? Does he get to hang out in different places when he gets there? Yeah.
Like when he takes me down Magnolia Drive? Yes. That's he comes right in the front
gets to go
door.
Down that street.
Not many people get to drive down that puppy. Steve has great credentials, I should say, and what a great guy. He's just a lot of fun to be around. He'll be in this afternoon. He's over at the National today, and he'll be in this afternoon to give us another report that will air on tomorrow's show. So,
yeah, maybe that was a great guy. You'll have Stankowski coming and visiting you here, but he said Wednesday, which is
tomorrow.
That he might be hanging out there too as well. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And weather aside, which I think if it was like here, it'll be heavy, but it'll blow through. And then, as we've talked about before, with the sub-air system, for what that is, for people that don't know, they basically can suck almost all the moisture, if you will, out of the ground. And if you walk the grounds at Augusta, like Frank will be doing the next few days, you can actually hear the fans, right? You're not really sure what that is, but you hear a buzzing.
You hear very low. And yeah, very low.
And you'll
very
see,
low.
And you can see in the ground at different places, right from number nine, there's like a vent in the ground, and that's part of the system that – cost is no factor there, is it, Frank? They spend whatever they need to spend. So if it costs $20 million to put that in, then by God, we're going to put it in.
Yeah, that's just the way it is. And they've done a lot here in Augusta with property purchasing more area. There are some things in the works for this place that are going to be exciting. We don't want to talk about them just yet because they haven't announced it. So, but just keep your eye keep your eye out and your ear to the ground for what Augusta National is going to do. I'm sorry?
Don't take your phone. Don't take your phone.
Oh, no. You cannot take your phone in there. In fact, you go through the gates and the metal detectors, and they'll take it away from you and put it in a little locker.
They'll give it back to you.
They'll give it back.
They will sell it on eBay.
We have a media event tomorrow night. It's the Golf Writers Association of America, of which we're members, annual meeting tomorrow morning early in the press center, which is a phenomenal facility. And then we'll have the gala dinner tomorrow night, and where we'll award senior player of the year, player of the year, and all the pros will be there to accept their awards. And it's just a big get together for all the folks in the media. And then, of course, Thursday morning is the ceremonial kickoff, and we have a new we have a rookie that's going to be on the tee box this year.
He hasn't been called a rookie in a while.
No, but the rookie is Mr. Tom Watson. Yeah. So he will be there with Mr. Nicklaus and Mr. Player to kick off the ceremonial shots. Of course, last year, it was Lee Elder. God bless his heart. He's passed. But it was great that they acknowledged him, and that was a special moment.
I was reading something about that, and when they started that hasn't been a long, long tradition. I think it started – I say fairly recently, maybe the 80s. Am I right on that? As far as the ceremonial opening shot, I think it was while
Sam Snead,
Bobby Jones was still
Gene Sarazen.
So it goes back there. Yeah. But so they didn't always do that, but they've done that for a while now. But for a long, long time, it was Palmer, Nicklaus, and Player.
Right.
And they they have to evolve it as the guys can't hit the balls anymore or want to do it. It was Byron Nelson for a long time as well. And I remember Byron. I think Byron did it up until Byron passed away, I believe, at early 90s. Yeah. But I think he was still hitting that ceremonial shot at like 88 or something, and still had a velvety swing, right? Even if the ball, who cares how far it went.
Well, and Snead too. I mean, Snead swing is it's iconic. Yeah. But by the way, I failed to mention one of the big highlights at this tournament is the par 3 tournament that will be contested tomorrow on the par 3 course there at Augusta National. And the players bring their family and they have their kids in the jumpsuits that the caddies wear. And a lot of times their wives will caddy for them. They'll bring a little, day bag and throw a few clubs in there and play the par 3. Jack Nicklaus has announced that he will not be playing in the par 3.
Oh, okay.
So
he had been kind of a fixture there.
Was it last year that his grandson had a hole in one?
Yeah.
I mean, wow. How good is that to see?
It's a really neat event, and I guess we'll find out. No word of Tiger, but certainly that would be an event that Charlie would be a caddy, you would think. Sam, his daughter. And I think he's used them in the past to caddy, and they put on. And the cutest thing is when some of these players have young children, and their caddy, they can only make them so small. Their caddy uniforms are like rolled up 16 times, right? So
they're not that is
falling
cute.
Off and everything. I mean, they really are adorable, some of these young kids, and they let them go out there and putt for their dads and everything. So it's just one of the event itself, and I'm talking about the whole week long. It's just they have this great tradition, and I don't think, as much as a lot of people fight tradition and a lot of different things and want to update. There are so many things about Augusta and the Masters Tournament that I don't think anybody wants to ever change. I think it is a throwback, but I think it's also, no matter how old or young you are, you're thrilled to be there, and you love watching it, and fans love seeing that par 3 event and the interplay of the families and the players amongst themselves. Even when Nicklaus's grandson, remember when he hit the hole-in-one, I think other guys were on the tee box, they were all high-fiving and hugging. It's just a great...
Yeah, Gary Player was with him, stuff. Going crazy. That was great.
It was really, so that'll be tomorrow after, again, I think Tiger makes the announcement, makes it official that everybody... And the ratings will be sky high. Frank, you know that. The people tuning in to see Tiger.
Well, here I have a prediction from one of our good friends, Brendan Sweeney from the French Lick Resort, just came to me. He said, I predict that Tiger does not play.
Oh, really?
That he feels like Tiger being here has taken all the heat off and attention off of Phil Mickelson, and that Tiger will use the rain as an excuse. What do you think?
Huh. Interesting. You know, I think sometimes Brendan is a contrarian.
Sometimes.
Is he standing? Is he right there with you?
No, no, he's not. He, unfortunately, he's not. He's not here.
I got you. Okay, he texted you. I got you. So, yeah. So I think sometimes some people want to make, you know, bold predictions just to be counter to what everybody else is. I'm watching Tiger, and you probably have been doing the show. Maybe you don't have the Golf Channel in front of you, but you know, all morning they've been showing Tiger pretty much swinging, hitting, all that. He looks very healthy to me. He doesn't look like he. During his rehab, we all know he's a fitness freak. It looks like his waist is about the same. You know, a lot of times you could put on 10 or 15 pounds when you've been laid up as long as he has. It doesn't look like that's the case. He looks very fit. I'm sure he's not running on streets, but I would imagine he's doing a lot of working out and cardio and whatnot. So I would be shocked that he's gone this far, this long, played last week. As we all know, he flew in with his son to play a practice round, comes back to practice some more. I would be shocked at this point that he has done all this to just say, I don't think I can do it. People have said, Marco Mira said, he's not going to play if he doesn't think he can compete. I'm a little leery of that. I know he's certainly, everybody, Frank, even guys you and I don't have any idea who they are, go into this thinking, I could be that guy, right? It could be the Cinderella story. Tiger certainly thinks he wants to win and wants to be able to win, but I think he's also realistic that, you know, if he's going up against Scottie Scheffler and all these other young guns, it's a different world than when he was 30 years old and in his prime and dominating.
Sure.
I think he thinks, I think I can, but I don't know that he's not going to play just because his leg hurts or he's only maybe 80% or 85%. I think, you know, Bryson DeChambeau announced yesterday that he's been hurting. He's had back and different injuries. He says, I'm probably 80%, but I'm playing. So I think Tiger would do it if he's seriously doesn't know.
I really believe 100%. He's going to play. I agree with you. Yeah. I really believe he's going to play. He wouldn't have gone this far. It's cool this morning. He's out there, you know, hitting balls. So we'll just we'll see what happens coming up.
Okay.
By the time this show airs, we will know exactly what Tiger Woods is going to do. And you know, I'm just everybody has that feeling. My God, can he really contend? Can he contend? I think he can.
Really? Well, I'd be surprised if he contends. And by contending, I mean I would be surprised by a top 10, top 15 finish. But I wouldn't be shocked by it if it happened. But I would be a bit surprised. I think he's going to play well enough. And let's be honest, if he gets a top 20, that's a pretty darn good round for anybody at the Masters. And even if you're Tiger, considering where he's been.
To Tiger, that's Tiger. You know, he's of the Ricky Bobby attitude. If you're not first, you're last. Okay, that's Tiger Woods.
Yeah. And I agree. I understand that. But he's also, as we know, he certainly hasn't won every event he's ever been in. Right? He knows what it's like to try and miss cuts and all those things. So that's why.
But not many.
Not a lot.
Not many.
But I think you know he's like, okay, well, it happens. I'm a golfer, and the world turns, and you know we'll see how it plays out. But he does know this course, and that's the other part about this is that he knows it as well as anybody. The fact that, yes, if I'm not as long or I've got a little problem with this hip or something's given, he knows how to manipulate himself and to still be able to score, right? To hit a 3-wood instead of a driver if he needs to. So I think he knows, even if it's not, and he won't be 100%. I don't think there's any way you could be after all that, and it's only been 14 months.
Yeah.
If I'm not 100%, I still know, in his mind, I think he knows he can figure out a way to play this course, right, and get around and do the things that he needs to do. And if his short game's good, let's be honest, Frank, he may not be able to hit every drive 330 and all these other things, but if he can chip and putt, and if that part, which doesn't take as much wear and tear on your body, we all know Jordan Spieth, that he can compete.
Sure.
If he's
everyone said that his game is absolutely spot on with his wedges right now. Spot on. So
that's a huge part of it.
That's a huge part of this, especially here. And he like you say, he knows how to play this golf course. He knows to leave the ball under the flag stick, under the hole.
Right.
You have
where to hit tee shots, right? So even if he's got to hit a longer iron, but he knows where to put it. And he's like, if I've got to hit a 5 instead of a 7, I can do that.
Yeah.
Knowing where to play it. That's what I think is factoring in, is that this is his backyard, if you will. And that's a big part. If he was playing a rarely played British Open event, maybe it'd be different. He goes, I don't know the course. I don't know. But this is, it's kind of home for him.
Yeah,
you know?
This is home.
Yeah.
And it's home for us, you know. Just wish you were here, pal.
You know, it's home for Azalea as well, too.
It's azaleahospitality.com, folks. Go there. Yep. It's a fabulous hospitality house and jumping off point. We have valets that will take you to the to your gate to get into Augusta National. You just park your car and hop in one of our we actually, you know what we look like here? We look like the president's what's it, motorcade.
Motorcade?
We have all these black Suburbans all here.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Really?
I think I just saw windows. I think I just saw a W go by in one.
Is that right? Is that who that was?
It was W.
Let's just say
your buddy.
Say it was
your buddy. Anyway, no, this is a great place to come to. Marcus and Billy are two of my favorite people, and their families are here, and that's a lot of fun. Marcus's daughter's here, and she's looking at maybe getting into communications. So,
look at that.
So she's shadowing me. Should that be a bad omen for her?
She might want to go plan B.
Yeah,
is she shadowing you around the bar? You can show her that.
No, she doesn't drink. No, she's a nice young lady. Easy, big boy.
Seriously. Easy.
She can shadow you. I mean, you're a CBS sports guy, so, you know.
I've had so many. I've mentored so many. It's just starting with Jim Nance, and the list goes on.
Hello, friends.
Finishing with Paul Stankowski.
Absolutely. Yeah, hey, buddy, it's been fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
Doing the kickoff show, and we'll be doing more together this week. And
All right.
Looking forward to it. So
we're done.
Yeah.
We're out of here.
Go help. Go. Well, wait a minute. We can't get out of here yet.
Why?
You
got to
go help. Go help Stankowski pack. Never mind. You go help Stankowski pack, and I'm going to go inside and hang out at the bar.
Well, say hi to everybody there.
I'll do it.
And I look forward to it. We'll talk again soon. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to Paul Stankowski for joining us and giving us some memories. And thanks to Steve Elkington for joining us as well with a great interview there with Frank. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We appreciate each and every one of you. And remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.